Blog Talk Radio.
Chase our dreams and try to make things happen, you know, things. All right, hey, here we are, another Friday night with nothing to lose, and our that opening song was from our featured guest tonight, rap artist Mo, who we and he's going to be talking about his latest mixtape. Is Anybody Listening 3? And we will get to him real soon, but yeah. I think that was a great opening, you know, Chasing Dreams. We all do that, right? Great song. All right, so I'm going to bring on my co-host here, Mr. Michael D. Gacinski.
spies.
And Dr. Quinn, Michelle L. Quinn, I like to call Dr. Quinn. Dr. Quinn, you there?
Good evening, gentlemen.
All right. Wow. Okay. Yeah, Chasing Dreams. And we got our special featured guest tonight, rap artist Mo from New Orleans. Yeah, Chasing Dreams. And, you know, wow, here we are, another Friday night with nothing to lose. You guys, are you ready for the Pledge of Allegiance really quick here? Or are you guys ready to stand up? Yeah, remove your hat. Hey. And Dr. Quinn, please remove your wig or whatever that is there. Okay, we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance and move forward with
and
tonight's show.
No coughing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No,
I hope she has
the
antibiotics for that. Here we go.
I've coughed all day, in fact.
Oh, wow.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Wow. Every time. A little teardrop. Just, have to wipe it away with a tissue. All right, guys. So, wow, here we are again, Friday night. Nothing to lose. And we got our special featured guest tonight coming up here in just a few moments, rap artist Mo from New Orleans. And he's going to be talking about his Is Anybody Listening 3 mixtape. And also we've got Mr. Ryan Snellman from Seattle, and he's going to be talking about his travel log. It's called, here's the title, Ball 4, A Drunken Escapade Through America's Pastime. It's all about, you know, how he goes from one major league ballpark to another all across the country. He's been to like 15 major league ballparks and 6 AAA or whatnot, and I'm sure it's going to be fun, and we'll have lots of things to grill him with.
He totally hung out with me while he was in Chicago.
Well, that's coming up. But for now, yeah. So anything new going on with you guys? Anything in the news or anything that has kind of tickled your fancy?
Well, I got my court date.
You got a court date. Wow. Okay, yeah.
June 28th, fellas, 9 a.m.
Wow, that's nice. Court date. And for anybody who's not in the know, what's this court date pertain to?
A little bit of a drunken driving arrest I had a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, all right. You were just one of the unlucky ones that got caught.
How's that skin disorder treating you, Michelle?
My skin disorder is fine. Hey, you know, like I said, I proved that shit with science. I proved it.
Right.
My skin condition is fine, thank you.
Well, I will remember if I ever get arrested to tell them I have skin disorder.
Psoriasis.
And I have lube in my purse.
That's right. When you've got skin, you've got lube in your wallet or your pocket, just say you've got a skin disease.
That's perfect. Yeah, I don't think that would work for, you know, just the average Joe getting the DUI, but that's good advice, and that's good to know, Dr.
Quinn. Quinn has skills.
She's got special DUI skill there, yeah. She's from Indiana, so we forgive her. We forgive her. All right, you know, with no further ado, guys, I would like to bring on our featured guest tonight, rap artist Mo from New Orleans, and, you know, let him talk about this, his new mixtape, Is Anybody Listening 3, and so let's bring him on. All right, Mo.
Yeah.
Hey, you there, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Mo?
Yep, I've been here since the arrest talk.
The arrest talk. Yeah.
Have you been there, my friend? Have you been there?
What'd you say?
I said, have you been there, my friend?
Oh, nah.
Yeah, and you know what? Good for you, and don't admit it on live. Blog Talk Radio.
If you do get arrested, tell them
yeah,
the end of story.
Yeah, because
we'll hear
the end of
it. Nah, clean record. Like one of the first
clean record.
With a clean record.
Sweet.
Yeah, hey, right on, man.
Sweet. All right, man. Hey, your album your mixtape, I should say. I always get that, you know, confused. There's this distinction, I guess, between a mixtape and an album. I don't know. And I get chided all the time for calling, you know, a mixtape an album. But anyhow, your mixtape coming up here, or is it actually, it's actually out and it's available on DatPiff, I believe. Is anybody listening free? Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, one of my personal favorites from that album is the song Rick James. That, I mean.
Yeah. A weird selection.
So I mean, all right, man. What's the creative process like for you? You know, when doing a mixtape or whatnot.
I don't really know how to describe it. I don't really go into recording with the thought process of making a mixtape. I just record, and the best songs or the songs I feel like the best, I just put them as a compilation and make a mixtape.
Well,
yeah.
How do you compose the songs? I mean, do you just come up with them as you go, or do you sit and you?
I like every song on that mixtape. I actually found like the beats the day prior to going to the studio, and I wrote them like in a day.
Really? So,
yeah.
So, I mean. Okay, when you come up with the lyrics or whatnot, I mean, do you have a preconceived idea of what it's going to be like, or does it just come to you spontaneously, like when you're in the shower or, you know, on a walk or driving? You know, because that's the way it is for me. When I do creative stuff, it comes to me spontaneously, out of nowhere, boom.
Yeah, a lot of lyrics and a lot of the hooks came spontaneously, but I was blessed with having a not so good life, so I have a lot of topics to talk about. I never really run out of things to talk about, and I really put my life into my music, so it's kind of easy to write. It's basically what I go through, so yeah.
Oh, well, okay, well, cool. So you take a lot of your, you know, inspiration from real life experiences that you've had growing up, right? I mean, that's
yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, excellent. So, what's it like for you when you're actually like, I don't know, in the studio, right? I mean, at some point you're in the studio creating this mixtape, and what's it like for you working with like the engineer, or do you do the engineering or whatnot yourself?
This particular mixtape, I worked with an engineer out in New York, and another one back at home when I came back. But I usually engineer a lot of my own
really?
Material. But this time, I worked with two engineers, so it was a little different.
And what's that? I mean, what's that like for you? I've never done, you know, engineering like that, audio and all that. I mean, what's that like? How did you learn that? Was that something you just kind of like you know, you were an apprentice with somebody else in the scene or something? Or, I mean, how'd that come about?
Nah, I taught myself everything from a lot of YouTube videos. Yeah. I wanted to learn how to do it because I feel like a lot of engineers usually rush me or they don't take my ideas into consideration because they feel like I'm not a big enough artist. So I taught myself how to do most of the engineering, so I get it out exactly how I planned on it to come out. So even on this mixtape, a lot of the ideas weren't even mine. Like, it kind of happened with this one, too. So I'm going to probably get back to doing my own engineering on the next project so I can get all my ideas out.
Excellent. Well, okay. You know, I'm a, you know, creative type myself, too, and I do a lot of stuff, and I find it very fascinating, you know, hearing how an artist, musician, or whatever, you know, goes through the whole creative process, because, you know, at times you want it to be your project, and you want it to, you know, you have a certain vision, but then at times you have to, it's inevitable. You have to collaborate with somebody else, to make it all come together. I mean, so you don't really have a problem with that whole process of like collaborating with someone else?
I actually do. I'm actually like still trying to teach myself as much as I can about engineering and about how the music production works, so I don't have to rely on other people to make my visions come true. I'm still trying to learn as much as I can about it.
Well,
at one point I'd rather be doing everything myself.
How much of an impact have producers had on your work? I mean, you say the engineers kind of rush you and whatnot, but the producer too. You know, you want to produce your own stuff too, right?
Yeah, because I had a lot of bad experiences with producers as well. Even on this tape, I'm not going to put anybody out there, but they're pretty difficult to work with when you don't have a status behind your name.
But difficult how? Like their heart's not in it, or they just try to get you in and out, or what? All about money?
I had a couple producers who I actually paid in advance for a couple beats, and they didn't send what was promised in the what I paid for, basically. I had a couple producers did that, and when I asked them for the beats that I paid for, I actually got the runaround. I'm missing like two songs that were supposed to be on the mixtape because of producers and that type of situation. So, yeah, I'm trying to cut out the middleman as much as possible. So I'll probably be teaching myself how to make beats in the near future.
From there, you just have to pay for studio time, right?
I mean, I have all of my own equipment that I invested in when I first started college, so I won't really need them for that as well. So we'll see how that works.
Excellent. That's excellent. That's the way to go. Cutting out the middleman. I mean, that's what the whole, like, independent artist, you know, is about now. You see it. And with all this technology and all this digital stuff and social media today, you know, cutting out the middleman and all that crap. Yeah, I agree. That is awesome. And I'm glad to hear you're doing that. What inspired, do you have any like influences or anything? I mean, what got you into, you know, wanting to be a rap artist, et cetera?
I'm influenced by pretty much everyone. I don't have like a certain like list of people who I listen to because I usually listen to everything. I'm like really weird when it comes to music. If I hear a song that I like, or I'll like look into that artist's whole catalog based off one song. So I'm pretty much a fan of almost everybody who does it. There's not too many people who I'm not influenced by.
Right. But when you say your influence, I mean, all of us as artists and creators, I think, have some specific influence that you can kind of like go way back and think of. I mean, is there anybody, any particular musician, or not even musician, like, you know, just an artist or of any type?
Well, yeah, when I first started, it probably was Jay-Z and Wayne, Drake. When I first started out, it probably was more Jay-Z and Wayne, though. That's who I think made me want to actually get into it.
Yeah,
but
I
listen to everybody now.
Right. How old were you? I mean, what? There had to be like a certain like spark at some point when you were a kid or something that just said, "Boom, this is what I want to do. I can relate to this. I can express myself." And you know, is there somebody or was there a certain time? Can you remember? Like, because I find that fascinating to me because I always think back to when I got inspired. So, I mean,
it was so long ago. I can't even remember like what actually made me want to do it. I started writing music when I was in elementary school as a way to express what I was going through. It's been so long ago, I'm not even sure exactly what made me pick up the pen, but I know I was writing way back in elementary school. I remember writing in class and after school while everybody else was into sports. I didn't get into sports until middle school. Yeah.
Wow, okay, I find that fascinating too. So you were more into expressing yourself through writing. And then, you know, yeah, okay, very cool, man. Because, you know, I went through the same thing, you know. I was always kind of a small guy, you know, and I couldn't play football or anything because I was too small and too puny for it. And I found myself kind of isolated, and I started expressing myself through writing. So you took that whole writing and everything and, you know, writing lyrics and stuff and moved forward into rap music. And,
yeah, and it wasn't even just writing lyrics. I used to actually write stories and stuff for class. I remember I used to write stories for the class, and the teacher would make me read it out loud, and I guess it was like so captivating that she would let me read them to the class like as an assignment. So yeah, it was always writing.
You've always been a performer.
I wouldn't say always. I was more shy when I was younger, but I used to do it. I was always able to force myself to do it.
See, that's awesome. And you know what's even more awesome is that you had a teacher that encouraged. She saw your talent and encouraged it. You know, that's rare. You don't get that too much nowadays.
She was like the last one to do it.
Yeah. Hot damn. Okay. With all that, I mean, moving forward, I mean, as far as like, I don't know, getting your music out there. I mean, I've listened to your latest mixtape here. Is anybody listening free? And how? I mean, do you go? Are you a DJ or anything like that? Do you go to clubs? Do you promote these? Or I mean, how do you get the word out there?
I actually just looked into further promoting my music because a lot of people told me that's what I was missing when I got into this. Why is this man playing a banjo on the corner? I'm sorry, there's somebody playing like this homemade instrument on the corner. But yeah, it's homemade. I don't know what it is.
Sweet.
Okay, he stopped. He's out of my train of thought. What was the question?
You should go like ask him to do a little banjo, like diddling, din, 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 you know.
Nah, I'm gonna let him do his thing.
Is he creepy?
Yeah, he looks kind of crazy. We have a lot of them. Let him do his thing. I'm not even sure what type of instrument that is. That's definitely handcrafted.
That's great. So anyhow, what I was asking was, you know, to get your work out there and all that. I mean, do you DJ or anything like that at clubs, or do you go to clubs
and
have your music?
No, I just actually looked into further promoting. I'm actually working with a couple of people who has a reputation for, how can I put it, for branching out new artists, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I have a couple of people that I'm actually working with now who's supposed to be helping me further my music career, so we'll see how that goes.
Excellent.
How important is social media? In the mix with
social
all that,
media
you know,
is very important. That's where everything lies on now.
Absolutely.
Everything is.
You get it out there with Twitter and
media
Facebook. You have like a Facebook page people can go and like or what?
Yeah, I have a Twitter page. It's at WhoTF is Mo, WhoTFismoe. They can follow me on there. I post everything that I get into from there, all the new music, random tweets. That type of stuff, yeah.
Sweet. So, hey, I got to ask you something because I've seen the video, the music video. Mo and Mizzo, Power Circle.
Oh, yeah, that's my dude Mizzo. Shout out to my dude Mizzo. I hope he's listening. If not, I'm going to tell him come listen. But, yeah, that's my dude.
What was that experience like? I mean, it's a slick-looking video, man. I mean, that's...
Video, yeah. I mean, it was good. I agree, man.
Shout out to Eric Barton, the director. I'm actually about to be working with him on a few more videos for this project.
Did a good job, yeah. So what was that like? What was that experience like?
It was cool. That was like my third video, but it was cool. Usually what we usually do. It wasn't too too out of the ordinary, except I had a lot more people show up. Mizzle mm-hmm. tends to draw a bigger crowd than me. He's a little more popular. But yeah.
I mean, how long was the actual shoot itself? I mean, what was it like? I mean, do you lip sync, or I mean, I've always, you know, been curious.
I don't know if I still don't know how that's supposed to work. I don't know if I'm supposed to lip sync, but I know I run out of breath when I'm doing it because I don't lip sync. But I think I'm doing it wrong. I think I'm supposed to lip sync, but I didn't for that video, yeah. And I was out of breath a lot.
So, all right. You heard it, ladies and gentlemen. Mo gets winded making music videos.
Yeah, I get winded making music, period. I don't know if I rap from my stomach or what.
That's great, man.
I got winded listening to Flux.
Yeah, Flux. Flux would get that wind out.
Flux,
too.
Yes.
That took a while,
dude.
That's a great song, too. That's probably – Rick James and Flux are probably two of my favorites from the latest mixtape.
Flux wore me out, man. I was breathing heavy after that one.
Yeah, how did you do that? How do you – I mean, how?
I have no idea.
You were just
but
like
– You said focused. Every word. See, it wasn't just like gibberish. I mean, you were saying the words. How the hell?
Right.
Yeah, it actually – like real lyrics in it. It's not gibberish. If I slow it down, every line makes sense. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I'm saying, you know, you said every word was like enunciated. I mean, I couldn't.
Uh-huh.
There's no way. That's an art, dude. That's an art.
When I was recording it, the engineer actually asked me, "How would I ever perform that?" I didn't have an answer for it. We'll see though.
That's great. Well, hey, how about we take a quick break here and listen to No Hold Barred, and we'll come right back with Mo. Are you cool with that, Mo?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, man. We'll be right back.
Still remain when all you give them is the flame, but situations never change. Hear my motherfucking name and pass me up like I'm a basic rapper. Bastards never catch them, drive me motherfucking crazy. Niggas lazy, never working, but exerting they positions on the mission. I dismiss them, do the track like Sonny Liston. I'm so different just to listen, and I bet that I'm convincing. Fuck your motherfucking mentions, just don't cross me like a Christian. And my people gave up, so a nigga said fuck everybody. Got a plane, take a left, I'm gone. I progress, I'm on. Tell the city I'm home. And the one Sunday bag probably call a nigga phone. But no, I don't answer for them bitches. Got no love for motherfuckers. Just a passion for my mission. I ain't got no conversation, cause when I was contemplating where the fuck I lay my head, nobody had a destination. So it's fuck them, catch my statements. Hope you got it crystal clear. Don't you appear in like a year when my music game is appeal. Cause motherfuckers like to jump on the scene when you seen with the dream, but the scenes never last. Cause I seen how they leave when you're down. See your last on the shit I done seen. Probably fine on my past, I know. And I just want the world to know there's no security blanket when the world is shifting, turning cold. And shout out to my fam, turn they back up on the nigga. Left me out there on my own without no backup for a nigga. Better pray I never make it, cause I swear I won't forget. I could be sitting on some meals and y'all will never see a cent. Shit, I must have had it been. I thought my people really care, but they ain't care. They just was there. It was a show and shit it aired. And I seen it, I mean it was a motherfucking shocker. All the ones I thought was real was just a fraud, they just imposters. The ones who I would call when I ain't had nowhere to go without no fucking hesitation. They just straight up told me no. Let a nigga roam the streets until my uncle came through. Nice to know one of my people still remain the same too. Do you really know the feeling of not knowing where you're sleeping? Sleeping. Where you eating and nobody gives a fuck unless it's happening to them. So I just keep it to myself, I never pass it to a friend. Fuck a friend and fuck a fan, bitch, I'm a man and I'ma make it. All this shit then turn me into who I am and I could take it. Damn near homeless, turned me to the strongest motherfucker ever. Motherfucking never. Call a nigga phone, they even ask me how I'm doing. Cause the love I have for y'all, this shit is gone. I swear you're ruined. Any faith I had in y'all, fuck them all with no remorse. Family and bitches, that's two things I won't endorse. All I care about is me and my little sisters and Trinita. The only people in my life who really make me feel complete. Never thought this shit would happen, or at least happen to me. And now a better future is the only thing I see. I've been struggling from the bottom, I'm just waiting on a peak. Made a heartless motherfucker, got some hatred for my peak. But I take it as a G and tell myself that I ain't tripping. But I'm tripping and I'm hoping that you motherfuckers listen.
And welcome back to Nothing to Lose. That song was No Holds Barred by our featured guest, Mo. So, hey, Mo, you're only 21 years old. Is that correct? I mean,
yeah.
You could be Baby. My son. You are younger, man. Wow. And you know what I find fascinating is that I don't know what you released, what, 4 mixtapes in like the span of a year. How's that? I mean, how do you do that? I mean, what?
I actually wanted to do more. People told me I was going, like, overkill.
Uh-huh.
They told me I should slow it down and work on promoting each project to get more listeners into it. But I'd rather just find someone to promote it for me so I could just stick to making music because that's all I really want to do.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't really difficult. It's what I like to do.
Right. Well, how long does it typically take you to put together, like, a single mixtape? I mean, what's the typical time span for you?
A typical time span?
From beginning to end.
Well, I put together, is anybody listening, 3 in, like, a week. So I don't think it takes
3
that
in
long.
A week?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jesus.
How do you do that?
Yeah, sir.
You're an overachiever
you
for a 21-year-old. Wow.
I have a passion for it. I just have a passion for it. I don't know.
Well, and that's a good thing, man. Wow.
No writer's block over there.
Yeah, not. I mean, it comes every now and then, but not too often.
Does the stuff that you write, does that translate into, do you practice any other forms of, you know, you've got rapping, but do you write poetry or any other sort of genre?
No, I've never wrote poetry. I wish I could sing. If I could sing, you would hear me doing a lot more singing. I can't sing, though, so it's strictly rap. But if I ever learn how to sing, I'll start singing a lot.
Okay, but how about other writing? Do you write fiction or do you write, you know, anything else besides?
Besides music?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to write stories. Like, I wrote a lot of fiction stories when I was coming up in elementary school, what I mentioned earlier, what I used to write in class, and the teacher would give me to read the stories out loud. But that's probably the last time I wrote, like actual stories. Everything now is... It's still stories, but it's based off my life, and I just put it into the music.
Sure.
It's
sure,
very
sure.
similar.
Yeah, it kind of plays hand in hand now.
Right. All right, so I have another question for you. I have made the mistake of accidentally calling a couple times in previous shows. A mixtape, an album. Is there a distinct thing between a mixtape and an album, or is it just some sort of, I mean, I'm
yeah.
clueless a little bit. Yeah, okay.
No,
please elaborate because I'm
that's not a bad comparison anymore. This day and age, everybody's mixtape is an album. Nobody like does the traditional mixtape thing where they jump on other people, instrumentals, it's all original music. They do tours off it. It's basically an album. So You're good. You can keep calling mixtapes and albums. That's exactly what they are.
Okay, cause I felt terrible because I've you know, a couple times I've done some interviews with other people, you know, artists who have mixtapes and all that, and I kind of got like corrected for calling it an album, and I was like, whoops.
But I am aware.
I am aware of the tradition of the mixtape and how it started back in the 70s, you know, back like in the New York and all that.
That's when it started in the 70s? I thought 50 Cent started it. I could be wrong.
You thought 50 Cent started it?
Yeah, I could be wrong. I was born in 91, so, you know.
Oh. 91, ooh. Yeah, right.
God, like I said, you're young enough to be my son. Wow. But no, no, that's no big deal, man. Yeah, I was born in the 70s, so, so that's why I have knowledge of it.
Yeah, you have more knowledge of it.
Now, what's the rap scene like in New Orleans? Whenever I think of New Orleans, I think of blues, I think of jazz.
I do too, yeah.
But I never really think about, you know, rap in New Orleans. So what's it like out there?
There's a lot of people out here who's making moves with the rap, with rap music. It's pretty much expanding down here now. There's a lot of artists down here who's trying to make a way with it now.
I grew up in Florida, and you know, when you had Southern rap, you always had, you know, like No Limit, you had Cash Money, and then, you know, some of the cats out of Atlanta like Ludacris. But you know, I never really, you know, like New Orleans, I always thought blues and jazz.
And that's actually, you actually like the second person who said that, like in the second interview. But there's rappers, people have been rapping down here for a long time. I'm not sure why we don't receive enough recognition or why Wayne, like, the only person who really received recognition for actually rapping down here. But we have a lot of people who actually rap, like, and that they're actually good. Like, hopefully I can shed some light on that one day. We have a lot of people down here who are real talented.
Well, let's see, you know, you gotta get it out there somehow, right?
Yeah, someone has to make it and change the perspective on New Orleans, right?
So, do I understand? Are you going on tour this summer or something like that? I mean, I thought I read somewhere you might be going on tour this summer.
I read that too. If you find out, let me know.
You read that too? You're not aware, huh?
If they have the dates booked, I'd gladly go on tour. I don't know anything about it, but
that's great. Wow. Okay. Have you ever like performed live, like on stage
or? Yeah, I performed live before. I don't know anything about a tour, but yeah, I performed live before.
Yeah. Well, what's that like? Were you nervous? I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, nervous.
A lot different from being in a studio.
Yeah, nervous. For the beginning, it simmers down after about 2 minutes. Kind of like basketball, like when you play in front of a crowd in high school, it's kind of hand in hand with that. Same way I used to be with that.
Yeah.
Now, how long do you got to get up there for? You know, when you perform in front of a crowd, how long are you up there doing?
Usually about a 10 minute. When I did it, it was about a 8 to 12 minute set. It wasn't too long because it was like a showcase.
Okay, I'm curious. What was that like? Were you up there just with a mic and like rapping it? And did you have a DJ like playing the music for you in the background?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they had a DJ. Yeah, they had a DJ. I was actually performing with another person who we used to rap together a while ago, like when I first graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
Me and him used to rap together, and we actually performed together. He was the one who actually got me into doing it because I wasn't too cool with like rapping in front of people, but it was a good experience, and it got me like comfortable with performing in front of people.
Right. Cool, man. All right. So hey, how about we listen to one more of your songs here? Turnt? Is that how you pronounce it? Turnt?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. We'll listen to Turnt, and we'll come back with Mo and wrap things up here. It's been great, man. Hang on.
All right, man.
Yeah. Got my niggas in this bitch. Mick, Swizzy, Ziggy just came in with the pip. Hold up.
We packed in that switcher, switcher. Bitches after my niggas, niggas. Fuck a bitch and I ditch her, ditch her. I be after my figures, figures. Couple shots of that liquor, liquor. Look around and I pick em. Roll a blunt and I burn up. All them bitches gon' turn up, 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 turn up. Never on that sober shit like, hold up, bitch, I'm stoned up. Tell them bad bitches they can holler, get that long fuck. Yeah. I pulled up with that red bone, did a pussy beat but no headphones. Cause the pussy weak that she head home. I be ballin' bitch to that bread gone. But I'm supposed to fuck to that bakery and they be hating me, but I don't give a fuck. Cause we made it through all them obstacles and I was bound to lose, but I'm thriller tough. No police, I never give a cut to these bad bitches, just fucking dip. With a lot of weed, I'm about to fucking lift. I be on the trees like a fucking chip and I burned out with that switcher. Perf all in my system. Some dick go all in the denture. Tell them bitch adventure, better not convince them all. You can watch my niggas ball. Course style when it's tip ball. Passing plus like Chris Paul. We quick to get in your bitch draws. I fuck around and she fuck around and we fuck around and she going down. She swallow slow when I pop her throat and I gotta go, so it's adios. I turned out like them figures, figures. She could play as my feature. No bitches that keep her. You fucking around with that creature. I got weed packed in that switcher, switcher. Bitches after my niggas, niggas. Fuck a bitch and I ditch her. I be after my figures. Couple shots of that liquor, liquor. Look around and I pick em. Roll the blunt and I burn up. All them bitches gon' turn up, 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 turn up. I be on that dope trail, never played the block, no O'Neal. Bitch, mo' real with them cold skills, with them label niggas throw mo' deals. You folk real with that weak shit, when my deep shit is on new levels. Watching all of my competition, looking at them niggas like, you better step your fucking game up, bitch, I change up with no piss though. When I flip hoes like acrobats and get back to rapping, my shit go too hard, bitch, I'm too hard. I'm hot as hell and you lukewarm. You can get the business, no suit on, better cut it out like coupons. Tell a bitch ass niggas how to get past, nigga fan like this here, gotta up your game. Nigga, up your fame, I can take that shit, no break pad, nigga, I run this game. That mean I can't stop, I'm hard as rocks, it's like a boulder. I'm the shit, you caught the older, circle small, I watch the cobras. Make a rhyme, it like a chauffeur, I'm supposed to make a million. Bring a feeling to the game, that bring a change to all civilians. And I got them, watch them like a rolling. When it happen, you can look, but never find a cola. Motherfucker rapping, I got weed packed in a switcher, switcher. Bitches after my niggas, niggas. Fuck a bitch and I ditch her, ditch her. I be after my figures. Biggest couple shots of that liquor, liquor. Look around and I pick em. Roll a blunt and I burn up. All them bitches gon' turn up, 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 turn up.
All right, welcome back to Nothing to Lose on a Friday night, and our special guest tonight is the rap artist, Mo. All right, and that song was Turnt by Mo, and so yeah, man, it's been great talking to you and hearing your point of view on all this, you know, the whole creative process and everything. So what's in the future for you? What do you have coming up?
A lot more recording.
Yeah,
a lot more recording. Then I'll see what that leads up to.
Is there any song that is really personal to you from like this latest mixtape? Is anybody listening three?
Just about
you feel
every one
a strong connection to.
Yeah, almost every one of them.
Every one of them, really? Okay, cool, man.
Almost every one of them came from a recent event in my life, so, yeah.
Uh-huh. Is there any particular one that really, you know, has that strong connection? There's got to be at least one, I mean.
No Hoes Barred and
and
Sober Thoughts. Yeah.
Sober Thoughts, wow, okay. Yeah, I heard that one, Sober Thoughts, okay, that's a good one. Rick James is still my favorite, though. Well, I have to ask you, okay, Rick James. What inspired admire that. That is just, it's flat out my favorite favorite song from it. I mean, what inspired that?
I have no idea what inspired that. I don't know. I can't explain it. I don't know where it comes from. It just comes. I don't know.
Well, I gotta tell you,
It had me rolling on the ground laughing, dude.
Yeah, I love it. Me too. It's brilliant.
What I was envisioning when I wrote it was the Dave Chappelle skit. Rick James is just kicking
a man's
couch. Yeah,
that's great. I love Dave Chappelle. I love the Dave Chappelle show. You know, Dave Chappelle.
Right.
Yeah, you know, he lives like 20 minutes away from me in Yellow Springs, Ohio.
Yeah. Go knock on his door and tell him start the fucking show back.
He needs to. He had that whole like breakdown, you know.
Yeah.
And just like I'm done. I'm done with all this shit. And just yeah. And it's like I'm gonna have a real life and enjoy my millions of dollars I made.
Yeah, I remember that. He turned down a big contract to go move to Africa.
Yeah. That's great. All right, man. I'll tell you what. What are your plans tonight? You're more than welcome to stay on and stay with us for the rest of the night and have fun. Or
I have like this thing going on, this normal person thing, since I haven't got famous yet. Like we have to work. Whenever that's done, which should be in like 30 minutes, I have no problem calling right to the show.
Oh, you're at work?
Yeah, I've been at work since it started.
All right, man. We'll cut you loose here, and once again, thanks so much for coming on. And I'm gonna be following your music now. I'm a fan, man. Especially you know Rick James and Flux. Those are two of my absolute favorites from this latest. Mixtape or album. You gave me the blessing to call it an album. Thank you very much. And you, hey man, you're just fun to chat with and stuff. So we should all stay in touch and
Yeah, no problem, man.
All right, man. Take it easy and hopefully chat again soon. All right.
All right, thanks for having you guys.
All right.
Dude,
take it easy.
Thanks for all right.
Bye man, take care, man.
Bye.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to do a little bit of a little bit of Puff the Magic Dragon, and we're going to come back here and go on to our second segment for the night, which is going to involve Mr. Ryan Snellman and his new travelogue he's going to have on here on our show, which is called Ball 4, A Drunken Escapade Through America's Pastime. This guy, I don't know how he does it. He travels all over the U.S. of A, going to Major League and Minor League baseball parks. And we're going to have fun with him and talking to him about these adventures. All right. A little bit of Puff the Magic Dragon. Yeah, let's get puffy, all right?
In a land called Honolulu, little Jackie. Puff. Puff, Magic Dragon. I can barely hear you.
Puffing away.
There we go. I can hear Puffy now. Oh, yes, Puffy.
Gentlemen, that was Puff the Magic fucking Dragon. yeah. So, anyhow, all right. We have, yeah. All right, our first segment of the night with rap artist Mo from New Orleans was fun and great, and he did a great job, you know. And I really, you know, I am a big fan of rap music, and, you know, his work is great, and to see someone that young, you know, that passionate about their art, you know, that's inspiring. I wish I had my shit together enough to, you know, have done something that significant at his age. But, yeah, unfortunately, I am a dipshit. So, but, yeah. All right, so coming up here. We've got the Mr. Ryan Snellman and the brand new segment that we will have and feature here more often than not, I hope, called Ball 4. Ball 4, a drunken escapade through America's pastime. America spelled like some sort of communist with a K instead of a C. Yeah, it's a travelogue. And you know what? We're going to bring this Mr. Ryan Snellman character on here and talk to him about this. Yeah, he's been to 15 major league ballparks and like at least 6 AAA. And let's bring Mr. Ryan Snellman on here. Oh, you know what? No. Wait a second. We're going to introduce, properly introduce Mr. Ryan Snellman's segment with this. You guys ready? You ready for this? All right, here we go.
Hello, my
Cracker Jack. If I never get back, cause it's root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball
I'm having a seizure here. Sorry.
Having a moment.
The Gooch massage. Yeah. Wonder how many strikes it takes for Mr. Ryan Snellman. Yeah, so take me out to the ball game, and you know what? Let's bring on Mr. Ryan Snellman himself here. Ball 4, a drunken escapade through America's pastime. You know what? I kind of feel like I'm going through some sort of drunken escapade here right now. Hey, Ryan, are you there, buddy?
I think I am. I'm not sure anymore.
Welcome.
Thanks. Although in another 20 minutes, I might even be thinking, so.
Welcome, buddy. You know, the first time you and I even, like, broached this whole idea and talked about it, I found it, you know, extremely fascinating. It's like, wow, okay, how, and what inspired this to, is this like some sort of like, you know, bucket list thing? Or, I mean, what inspired this whole idea to travel around the country to the ballparks?
Well, let's see. I think, way back in the day when I was a little kid, you know, I had my, or, you know, a little kid in my freaking, you know, early 20s.
Uh-huh.
I had my little list of things that I, you know, it's like, you know, go climb big mountains, go sail around the world, and go to all the baseball games.
Wow.
You know, and then I think 2007, I got to go to Baltimore for work, and after freaking sitting around all day listening to people talk, you know, treats, is we got to go to see Baltimore play Toronto, of all things.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first non-Seattle. Oh yeah.
And how was that game? I mean, it obviously inspired you or sparked something. I mean, I can't imagine the Baltimore Orioles and the Toronto Blue Jays inspiring anything in me, but obviously that had a very, like, personal, you know, impact on you. Can you elaborate on that?
I think the stadium impacted me more than the actual game. You know,
really?
It was being in a city, you know, all the way on the other side of the freaking country, watching a baseball game, and, you know, what I think it was in Camden, in the new Camden Yards there, that, you know, it was one of these, it was between that and the state White Sox stadium that kind of kicked off this redevelopment of most of the baseball parks across America.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, fucking go see this one. Why can't I go see all of them?
Wow.
You know, there's only 30 of them. I mean, how hard can that be?
Well, not the average person can't just travel from one ballpark to the next. And that's what I find fascinating about your whole travelogue and your journey, man. You're halfway there, aren't you? 15 major league. I mean,
yeah.
And plus you're going to AAA and other minor league parks. I mean, that's.
Well, then I think started with the AAA, I think it was 3 years ago. I was on a road trip and stopped in Vegas for a couple of days.
Uh-huh.
So and of all things to do in Vegas, I go see a AAA baseball game.
Wow.
Yeah, were there, did a stripper throw out the first pitch or what?
Oh, I'm sure somebody, you know, it was either a stripper or some Wayne Newton lookalike.
Oh, yeah. Did you at least have like a, you know, an escort or something?
Well, yeah, that was the rest of that after the game, you know? It was like,
okay. There you go. Wow.
You peeled her off the bleacher seats and then boom.
But, well, actually, as far as minor league games go, Las Vegas is a fun city to see a minor league baseball game.
Really? And what is the minor league team there in Vegas?
Let me see here. I think they're like the Las Vegas 51s.
Really?
You know,
is it AAA, single-A, double-A?
AAA.
Yeah? Really? Who are they affiliated with? Can you recall?
Let me see here. Back in the day, they used to be affiliated with the Dodgers, but that's changed.
Uh-huh.
I think now it's the Albuquerque Isotopes or the
Albuquerque Isotopes. Are you shitting me? Or are you making that up? I mean, Albuquerque Isotopes.
Of course it is, man. What the hell is he gonna have in Albuquerque? I mean, come on.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, Albuquerque Isotopes. I'm a fan. I mean, the name alone, Isotopes, Albuquerque. Wow. Yeah. So anyhow.
Okay, so the 51s are, now they're the AAA team for the New York Mets.
Oh, really? The Mets,
yeah.
Huh?
Well, I mean, come on, the Mets. You know, they got to live with the Yankees all year. They got to go out to Vegas and party sometime.
Absolutely. God, yeah. You have to compete with the Yankees. yeah, jeez. Tell me, Ryan. Throughout your travels so far, and everything. What would you consider out of the 15 major league ballparks you have been to? What would you say is the best stadium you have been to?
Wrigley.
Well, yeah. I'll get to that. I mean, I've got to say Safeco Field in Seattle first, just because that's my hometown.
Right.
But then, I think as far as out of town cities, yeah, Wrigley, is up there. I mean, it's
good
old game at Wrigley. It's old school. It's
right.
The classic American pastime.
Right.
Realized.
Right.
I have never been to a baseball game anywhere where I've seen more beer vendors.
Than Wrigley? Seriously, than Wrigley Field?
When your team is that bad, you need to be drunk throughout the whole game.
Yes. Multiple times during an inning, there would be like three beer vendors tripping over each other, trying to sell the same section of people beer.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, they must be working on commission there or something, huh?
Oh, yeah. They
know. Cubs fans know.
Cubs fans.
Gotta be drunk.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Cubs fans,
When I was there, they did a very good job of beating up on the White Sox.
That's all that matters. White Sox is like one of the most generic MLB teams ever.
72 or what?
I was just there, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was the week of Memorial Day, whatever that Monday Memorial Day was. They had the
27.
They had the rivalry games in baseball that week. So the White Sox played the Cubs.
Oh, excellent.
Yep.
So,
okay.
So
we hung out
in
the car.
All right, so I want to ask, okay, you say two of your favorite or best stadiums you've been to so far has been Safeco in Seattle, correct?
Yes.
Mariners? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you're from Seattle.
Well,
a Mariners fan.
I grew up rooting for a loser, so I've got to continue to root for a loser because it's in my DNA.
So were you a Ken Griffey Jr. fan?
The best lineup they ever had was Jr., Buehner, A-Rod, and Edgar Martinez. There was one game at. Well, everybody's got to have their hitch, but, there was one game I was at Safeco Field where they all four came up to the plate and either on a first or second pitch hit a home run. I mean, come on, how often do you see crap like that in baseball?
Right. Right.
Of course, because nobody watches Mariners games.
Except people from Seattle.
Right.
Well, yeah, just because we have 47,000
raining.
Yeah, well, because they have to have like pitch and pitch night to bring in that three extra fans. they had a freaking knitting night called Stitch and Pitch the last couple of years to bring in fans. And right now that they've been averaging like 10,000 people a freaking game.
Wow. What can the stadium hold?
About 47,000.
Are you serious?
Wow.
A good AAA baseball park will hold 12,000 people.
Right, yeah. Got one right here in Dayton, Ohio. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, but you're only single A.
Yeah, that's only single A. And it sells out. It has sold out consecutively for over a decade. But, yeah, so anyhow, yeah. Okay, you say your favorite stadium so far that you've been to major league-wise has been Wrigley Field and, of course, Safeco. What about, are there any others that you like?
About Tiger Stadium, man. Tiger Stadium is great.
I haven't been to Detroit yet, so I have to,
there you go.
Now it's Comerica Park. It doesn't count. Some new fancy park with rides.
Of course, they built their new stadium downtown. You know, they have a casino down the street. You know, it's like what?
Yeah.
You know,
the Tiger Stadium was nice to sit there and watch the game with the crumbling stadium. It was authentic.
Was it Tiger Stadium or was it the old football stadium that some guy bought a couple years ago for like $150,000?
I think that was the Silverdome. A football stadium. It's
okay.
In Pontiac, Michigan, and they use it for like high school teams to play and for, you know, it's pathetic.
Yeah, well, you know, so goes Michigan.
Yes, wow.
All right, so Wrigley Field and Safeco.
Okay,
what is the worst and shittiest ballpark you have been to so far?
That honor has to go to Oakland. they they're one of the last back in the day, multi-purpose freaking concrete blocks of a freaking stadium that
did you
it's like
did you get raped in the bathroom.
I'm sure somebody
you
did at the
you
game I was
there.
There. It's.
Yeah, so what was so bad about your experience at, Oakland A's Stadium?
Well, it's an ugly freaking concrete block that just exudes misery.
Do they have the old school, like, bleacher seats or what?
Well, I was even sitting, on a what should have been a decent section behind home plate, and it was... I might as well have been sitting in the fucking bleachers, It's like... And it's like everything there is just like... just super awkward because it's like... all the sight lines are not... because they're trying to play football and baseball there. And all the sight lines for both sports are just freaking wrong. And it just... as a place to be, it just sucks.
So what about the fans? What was your, interaction with the fan experience?
Oh, that was actually, was actually quite good.
Yeah?
Or, could have been potentially quite good.
Okay, well, here is my question. And I think this is very important because this is, I'm not so much Major League Baseball kind of guy, going to stadiums and all. I've been to more NFL stadiums than I have, baseball. And when I go to any event, I'm checking out the chicks, and I'm checking out the milfs, especially since I'm an older man, So what stadium would you say you have seen like the hottest, potential
God, are you serious?
Milfies. We all know what
serious?
Milfs are, right?
Of course, it had to be Oakland. Come on.
Oakland?
It had to be Oakland.
So, Oakland rates as the shittiest stadium, yet has
the hottest
milf.
Yeah.
Of course.
Seriously? Wow. Yeah, please elaborate. Because,
oh.
Wow.
Are you serious with this question?
This is serious stuff, Dr. Quinn.
Of course.
Please.
I mean, it's...
How about the hottest dudes, Ryan? Did you see the hottest dudes?
Oh, sorry. I wasn't on the lookout for you back
San
then.
Francisco.
So.
All right. He's talking right now. He's talking about, MILFs, okay? Please,
oh,
Ryan.
Oh, my God.
Get over it, Dr. Quinn. All right. Yeah, so MILFs.
Why Oakland Stadium? I mean, that I find that very surprising.
I mean, there were some very hot women there. I mean, I can't. of the MILF age, you know, it was like, okay, you know, they were. How else can I put that I don't come across, you know, being too much of a bastard, you know?
We're all dirty old bastards here, except for Dr. Quinn. But seriously, I mean, what's your criteria? I mean, what are some of the other stadiums you know that you've been to that you've seen potential milfage or what? I mean,
yeah.
Well, let's see. It's
what makes Oakland rise above. It's a shitty stadium, but what makes it rise above the rest?
Yeah, I mean, can they deep throw hot dogs? I mean, what makes it?
Oh my God!
You know, if nothing else, you know, apparent eagerness could be one criteria.
What? Say that again, please.
You heard that right.
Right? Boo, Snowman, boo. How disappointing. All right, whatever.
Not that I was ever involved in anything that, you know, anything ever went on, but... You know, at least in some places you go, there are
keep
someone
going.
That actually.
Keep going.
Yeah, well, let me dig my hole a little freaking deeper here. You know, it's there.
Now, what stadium had the worst MILFs?
Yeah.
Worst. Where should we never go?
Let's see. Probably either Dodgers Stadium or the Angels Stadium.
Really?
Stay
away
from
LA.
All period.
Wow. Yeah, you would think otherwise. You would think hottest MILF. In L.A., you know?
Yeah, but the people in Oakland are more fun. You know, it's...
uh-huh.
The Little Stadium is really
we care about hotness.
Attractiveness is not so much just a physical characteristic. It's a combination of physical and persona.
How can you tell at a baseball game? Unless they're going to town on a hot dog, how can you tell at a baseball game? I mean, I'm looking for braless women, braless, large-breasted women, you know, panty lines.
Eating a hot dog.
Well, see,
in that case,
I haven't been to too many East Coast teams yet, so I don't know about the whole New York, Boston, Philly scene yet, so I can't quite say it all that. But...
Yeah, well, Boston, they stick to the bleachers. You don't want to go there.
but then again, for some afternoon sunshine entertainment, you might go check out San Diego.
Really,
you know,
the Padres?
Navy town.
Yeah, what was that like?
It's a big Navy town. It's a big Navy town, and a lot of young chicks. You know, very laid back. You know, you go to the game just for a couple hours of some sunshine, hanging out, drinking a few beers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and whatever else might happen afterwards.
Oh, excellent. So that's another question.
Whatever happens.
So far in your travels, which stadium would you say has had the best beer? I mean, and I don't mean just taste-wise. I mean, you know, given the combination of, like, cost and, you know, flavor and ease of, like, accessing it. I mean, that's very important.
I gotta
go
back
to ball game.
I gotta go back to Wrigley for that one, just because nothing else for the ease of access. Every 5 freaking minutes, there's somebody tripping over themselves to sell you a beer.
Right. Okay, so ease of access, but I mean, overall, like, if you had, like, a ratio, a quotient or whatever, to quantify this, which stadium?
Mm-hmm.
You're making a good case for Wrigley Field here.
How about food? Who has the best food? The best thing you've eaten at a damn stadium?
Let's see. The best thing I've ever eaten at a stadium.
Remember the Melf said it ain't Oakland either.
Oakland's the bottom. Well, except for the Melf, Oakland's at the bottom list for everything else. I would say recently the best thing I ate at the stadium was in Pittsburgh.
Really?
Where'd you eat?
Yeah.
There's this
chain restaurant in Pittsburgh that does sandwiches. At the stadium, they'll do like a roast beef sandwiches where they'll put the French fries on the freaking sandwich.
Oh.
And it's the most insane freaking beautiful thing ever. I get a roast beef sandwich that has freaking French fries on it. I mean, come on.
Oh.
How do you get better than that?
Oh, God.
Yeah, Fougé, you can have your milks. I'll take
it. After the way he described that, milks come a dime a dozen, but a sandwich like that.
And on top
of that. Priceless. How much does a sandwich like that, of that quality, go for? I mean, how much does that set you back?
I don't know. It was baseball prices. It was, I don't know, $7 maybe,
$8. Did it fill you up? Was it worth it?
It filled me up enough that, later in the game I went back for some extra fries on the side, but, besides the sandwich and the fries on the side, all I did was drink beer at the stadium, so I suppose that filled me up.
Sounds divine.
That does. I mean,
Yeah.
That gives me like this euphoric feeling just in my
I'm not far from, I live right on the border of Pennsylvania. I'm tempted to go
just for the fun.
I have to give a shout out to Steve Brightman, who I met in Cleveland, who's a friend of the big poobah that put together the event. He hooked us up, and I met Steve at an Indians game night before, and he turned me on to those freaking sandwiches. So,
oh really?
Shout out to him.
Yeah, Steve Brightman. I know exactly who you're talking about, from Cleveland. He's an Indians fan, and he goes to a lot of baseball games too. I think he's kind of has some sort of like pseudo journey going on too. Is that not? Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, and also I think where he actually lives. Around there, he's only actually an hour and a half from Pittsburgh, so he goes to a lot of games in Pittsburgh as well.
Yeah, so he's kind of like at a nexus there. He's got Cleveland, Pittsburgh, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. I've seen him post about
nexus of hell. Nexus of hell. You can see the Indians and the Pirates. Yay!
And also the Pirates game is.
The Cleveland Indians are actually doing very well this season. I'm not, I'm a Cincinnati. I'm okay. Confession. I am a diehard Cincinnati Reds fan, okay?
Not you.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, Cincinnati Reds, they're kicking ass, too. But they really are this season. But seriously, and they have good hot dogs there. But,
yeah, they do.
Hey, what is Fouché doing in a bathroom in the Indians in the Red Stadium with diapers on?
Shitting himself like a true poet should.
It's called the warning track. That's what Fouché called it, the warning track.
Okay, this is not about the art I make in my man diapers. Okay, this is about
sandwich.
All right, you know what? Here, you know what? This is what you guys get for that. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, you know what? We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to bomb Korea because, Kim Jong-un,
you know, Kim Jong-il's son, illegitimate son, who's, you know, trying to start WW3. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And all right, yeah.
Korea every night.
And I bombed Korea in my dreams.
My engine sang into the salty sky.
I'm gonna kill a soldier.
I didn't know
I'm gonna go pee.
I would live
Listen
or
to
die.
Me.
I bombed Korea every night. I bombed Korea every night. I bombed Korea every night. Red flowers bursting down below us. Those people didn't even know us. We didn't know if we would live or die. We didn't know if it was wrong or right. I bombed Korea every night.
I'm only free with my urine right now.
And so I sit here at this bar. I'm not a hero, I'm not a movie star. I've got my beer, I've got my stories to tell, but they won't tell you what it's like in hell. Red flowers bursting down below us. Those people didn't even know us.
Bombing Korea. Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. and Mr. Ryan Snellman, I would like to thank you very much for your debut of Ball 4, A Drunken Escapade Through America's Pastime. You know, I find this very, very intriguing. And you know, it's not something that the average person can go out and do. I mean, how do you find the time to do that? I mean, wow. You know, 15 Major League Baseball parks and 6 AAA. I mean, what? How?
Time is money.
Well,
for
one thing, I'm not married and I don't have kids, so I get to actually go run away on my vacation time to do things like this.
Bingo. All right.
Kids are bad, yeah.
And I look forward to future installments for Ball 4. You know, Ball 4. I love that title, Ball 4, A Drunken Escapade Through America's Pastime, yeah. And America spelled with a K, like a communist, just like, you know, me bombing Korea with my urine. Hey, man. We're going to be on here for a little bit longer and maybe start talking about some, you know, randy stuff, you know, about like internet dating and stuff like that. Mr. Snellman, you're more than welcome to hang on and have some fun with us. Or, you know, what do you think, man?
Oh, what the hell, you know?
Exactly. It's slumber party time.
At once.
We're in the last phase of the show tonight. We're in slumber party mode. Let's all get drunk and high and have fun and talk about an ongoing subject that we have had going here for a long time on Nothing to Lose, internet dating and dating. You know who has the best and most coolest, ideas and stuff and whatever, is Dr. Quinn herself. Dr. Quinn.
Yes. The doctor.
She is like
the doctor is
like,
here.
Yeah, she is the expert on this. So, so yeah, you know we.
Go ahead.
No,
I do have a story unfolding right now as we speak. But go ahead.
I bet you do. See, it never fails. See, you can count on Dr. Quinn. Okay, yeah, let's hear this story unfolding.
This actually has nothing to do with internet dating.
Okay.
this was a dude that I met, as a matter of fact, the night of the DUI. This was prior to the DUI. And machete-wielding Tanya brought over this dude. And, well, we were with another friend of ours, too, and they brought him over, and he was talking to us, and she was doing her thing and hitting on him and everything. But he was kind of hitting on both of us.
Oh,
and
okay.
Honestly, it seemed like he was kind of more into me, and even Tanya said so. You know, because really, I have no game. I really don't. And so she was, you know, playing him like a fiddle. But, you know, he and I were talking and having a great conversation and stuff. So he got both of our numbers, and, you know, he texted us later. Well, I don't know what, then, you know, the whole DUI thing happened, and I forgot about the guy. So the other day I texted him, you know, back, and, you know, hey, it was nice meeting you. Sorry it took me so long to, you know, text you back or whatever. Long story. So he and I have been chatting this evening, and then he decides to tell me. He's like, yeah, so Tanya and I were supposed to go out last weekend, but she canceled the date. Motherfucker, why are you telling me that shit? Here's a tip for you guys. Don't be telling me that you're wanting to go out with my friend.
Wow. Okay.
If you're like trying to hit on, you know, two chicks at once, bringing up the other chick, that's a card foul.
Maybe he was trying to set up a menage a trois. Okay.
No.
Maybe
you
want to go out with your friend and do the tube steak boogie with you. The poon tango. Do the dance.
Tango, did you...
Okay, well,
like
here, Dr. Quinn, you bring up... Dr. Quinn, you bring up a very interesting scenario there. Okay, so he was hitting on both of you. Would you ever consider, or have you ever... had a menage a trois, or, you know, a threesome, or whatever, you know, whatever euphemism you want to place on it. Would you ever consider doing that?
We have talked about this before. Yes, I would consider it. No, I have not done it.
Wow. You're lost. Okay.
Do we still have Snellman on?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't ask him the questions, Brian. You didn't ask him the questions.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Okay. Yeah. He knows this is coming. Oh, Ryan. Okay, yeah. I know you're going to have a regular segment on here, you know, with the baseball thing. But, damn, yeah. I'm required.
Everybody gets broken in.
Yes. I'm required to ask the simple, basic interview questions, Mr. Snellman. Are you prepared for this?
Oh, why not? I mean,
you're a trooper, Ryan.
How bad could it get from here?
All right, Mr. Ryan Snellman of Seattle, Washington, I assume, not Washington D.C., but Washington State. Yes,
that would be the general idea. Yeah.
Question number one. Brace yourself.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I can't even do it this way. Okay. Do you make eye contact when you make love?
Never.
Can you please elaborate on that? Why not?
It ruins the experience. I mean, come on. I've got to have a fantasy going on, you know?
Are you being serious? It ruins the experience because you're fantasizing? I mean, seriously?
Well, you know, it depends on the situation, you know?
What are you fantasizing about? Kim Kardashian or what, the Osama?
Let's see.
Don't go there.
Well, 3 or 4 years ago, I would have said Scarlett Johansson, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. She was cute back in the day, but she's not anymore.
Let's see. In this day and age,
Oh God, this is gonna be good.
Oh, what's her name?
What's her name? Yeah, that narrows it down.
Oh yeah,
Glenn Close. Glenn Close.
Oh yeah, it's right up there with Betty White. I mean, come on, it's she's on. Why the hell can't I remember her name? She's on How I Met Your Mother. She was the freaking band camp girl, the redhead.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I don't remember her name, but I know who you're talking about. The band. This one time at band camp?
Hannigan.
Yes.
Allison Hannigan.
Yes.
She was, what's her name? Willow and Buffy.
Yes.
That's
she's
cute. I Met Your Mother.
Allison Hannigan?
Allison Hannigan.
Why not? I mean, if you're going to have a fantasy, at least have a fantasy that ages well.
Okay. I'll give you credit, Mr. Ryan Snowman. She's cute. And, and we all kind of have a fetish for redheads, right? Wow, good one. Okay. So, you don't make eye contact because you're thinking of Allison Hannigan.
Oh, why not?
Ding, 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 ding. All right. Good answer. What is this, Family Feud? All right.
30 points.
Okay, question number two, Mr. Ryan Snowman. Do you think it's ethical to a little thumbs up thing, your own post on Facebook? And do you do it? If not, do you know somebody who does?
Oh, it's the worst thing in the freaking world. I mean, come on, you know?
But you
go on there and poke yourself, you know?
Poke yourself. That's one of the best answers I've ever heard regarding the whole like yourself.
I think that is the best. Poke yourself.
Is that even possible on Facebook world? Poke yourself? I mean,
well, if it's not, we should start a campaign to make it possible. I think so. There's gotta be thousands of narcissists out there that would just love nothing more than to poke themselves all day.
Oh God. I am totally a narcissistic asshole. Have you seen some of my posts? I'm such a beautiful bastard with green hair. But, we should start a petition to enable ourselves to poke ourselves. I mean, if we can like our own posts, why not poke ourselves? I mean, that is great, Ryan. That really is one of the best answers I think I've ever had for that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's damn fine.
Could you imagine just sitting on Facebook all day, poking yourself? I do it. I'm just the type of narcissistic asshole that would do that. But anyhow,
you can flip back and forth and poke yourself and then go to Twitter and tweet yourself, you know? So you have a flip-flop, you know, in a war of tweeting and poking, you know?
I may have to create a second Facebook profile just so I can poke myself.
That's a good idea. You know, I'm getting a stiffy. I'm getting a hard on just thinking about this.
Gentlemen.
Wow, Ryan, see what you provoked, buddy.
Well, I think I'll create a second Facebook profile just so I can poke Dr. Quinn every freaking day.
Poke Dr. Quinn. You know what? We should start a campaign right now to everybody just start poking Dr. Quinn.
Yeah.
See if she can keep up with all of our pokes.
Motherfuckers.
Obviously, she needs to get poked.
We can have a great title like 10,000 pokes a day.
Gentlemen,
everybody poke me.
Nobody can see when you're poking.
What?
Nobody can see. I can't, like, if I were to poke Snowman right now, nobody could see that I poked him. So what are you doing?
Oh, gosh, okay, that's horrible. Nobody can see her poking, people.
You want to poke Snowman? Is that what you're saying?
All right, Mr. Ryan Snellman, here's question number three, okay? Of the standard questions we ask all of our guests, would you ever consider activating a middle initial to enhance your poetry career? I mean,
never.
Seriously.
Never.
Never. Why not? Because you have such a cool last name, Snellman? I mean,
well, I mean, come on. You know, it's, I'm already the freaking Viking poet. Why do I need an initial?
Okay. You're a Viking poet. How'd you get that moniker? What'd you do?
Oh, I showed up in Denver one day and had a. Let's see, what was it all? It was a gangster weekend with all those people in Denver. You know, with the. with the cleft jaw people, you know, it's Frankie Metro and.
Why aren't you there? They're all right there now.
Oh, well, you know, it's I can only be so many places.
Right. Okay, so basically, you're saying no middle initial for you. You're too cool for that shit. That will not enhance your. The exuberant poetry career you already have, adding a middle initial will not enhance it, right?
If I was going to go on a full second stage career, I'd just take my whole middle name and run with it.
Okay. What is your middle name? Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, it's one of the greatest names in pop culture history. Dean. I mean, I could, you know, it's
Dean.
I can follow the step foots, you know, the footsteps of, you know, James Dean,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, Dean Martin. You know, I could go either way. You know, it's
Harry Dean Stanton.
Oh, Harry Dean Stanton. Oh, great actor, great character actor.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
See.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, Dean. I'm impressed.
Jimmy Dean, that's all I need right there.
And did anybody notice the Harry Dean Stanton role in the Avengers movie?
No, I missed it. What? Uh-huh. What? Holy crap.
When the Hulk landed in the freaking warehouse and the security guard came and told him what happened, that was Harry Dean Stanton.
Oh, shit. That was over a year ago. I saw it the drive.
I didn't notice that Dean role. I noticed the Jimmy Dean roll at the grocery store. That's it.
Yeah, Ryan, you definitely are just as much of a nerd, if not bigger one, than me. When you can recall a Harry Dean Stanton cameo appearance in the Avengers movie,
I mean,
from
on,
like a year
come
ago.
On, he found it. He was the brain in Escape from New York. I mean, come on. You know, you gotta love the Harry Dean Stanton.
I do love Harry Dean Stanton. I mean, Jesus. He had some great roles in a lot of the David Lynch films. David Lynch being one of my favorite filmmakers of all time, you know. All right, so.
Let's be confused with Howard Dean.
All right. Mr. Ryan Snellman from Seattle, Washington State. Here is the last and final question. And, okay, brace yourself for this one, okay? Yeah. Okay. You know, you're not under oath or anything like that, but, you know, I find that threesomes reveal a lot of who we are. If you were involved in one, would you be the queen bee or the worker bee?
Oh, I've got to be the queen bee. I mean, come on, you know.
I can tell.
It's all about my pleasure. I mean, come on, you know.
And, okay, so if you're going to be the queen bee, please elaborate on what the dynamics of this threesome would be. Would it be male, female, male, or female, male, female, or, yeah, or male, male, male?
Only if you're there, Mr. PJ.
Of course, because I'm one sexy motherfucker. But yeah, no, seriously. What would be your ideal?
Well, let's see, all female all the way around. Why not? You know, it's...
Brown chicken, brown cow, indeed. All right, man. Thanks so much for the standard interview. Your answers were pretty damn entertaining, I had to say. Some of the best, actually. So we're going to take a quick break, guys, ladies and gentlemen. All right, and we'll be right back. And we will finish this stuff off with some more, some more Randy talk, okay? We'll be right back.
Mallory.
Baby's arms, indeed. All right, here we are. The final segment of Nothing to Lose. And you know what? I guess everybody that's been on tonight pretty much has nothing to lose on a Friday night. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. It's been a fun show. And so, yeah. Mr. Snowman, you still there, buddy?
Oh, yeah. I gotta finish this night out.
We haven't scared him off yet. That's a good sign.
Well, I still have a couple more beers, so what the hell?
A couple more. Well, there you go. That's the perfect way to ever, be a part of Nothing to Lose, knock back the alcohol and, just cut loose and, nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. Wow, it's been a fun show so far tonight, guys. I mean, really. just out of curiosity, Mr. Snowman. You there?
Okay. there's still curiosity left.
All right. Okay. So anyhow. Let's get back to the subject of dating and internet dating and, finding a potential mate through social media or the internet. That's something I find very fascinating. And, wow, I could tell some stories from like a decade ago, but I probably shouldn't. But,
oh, God.
Yeah, not going to go there right now, not right now. So, okay, the one single person, which being Dr. Quinn. Have you had any luck, Dr. Quinn, with any recent, outreaching you know, socially on the internet?
No.
No. Have you been trying?
The profile that I have, I barely check it.
Okay, the profile you have, where is it? So we can all start checking it. Start
name.
She checks it about as often as she checks Twitter.
Oh, now.
Yeah, so you can't keep that chick off her phone.
You see that Facebook is now going to have hashtags.
Queen was ahead of the curve. Fuck the hashtag. I hate hashtags. It's like something I would have for breakfast with ketchup.
I mean, I couldn't even get out of a bar without a picture of me being posted to Facebook.
And this is during your Wrigley Field encounter with Dr. Quinn, I presume?
Oh, well, you know, I was in Chicago for a week, so, you know, it was. I had to have more than just a Wrigley Field experience.
Right. You got the Dr. Quinn experience. So, hey, let's all hear about the Ryan Snellman and Dr. Quinn experience. Did you guys get really effed up together? Or
No.
No?
I wasn't.
But you get DUIs and stuff,
know.
But you didn't get effed up with Mr. Ryan Snellman. Wow.
I hope that wasn't what the Astro Glide was for.
No, seriously, though. What was the experience like? What did you guys do? Was it fun?
No, we had a great time. I met him up. He was staying at the Drake Hotel, and so I said, hey, I'll meet you up there. And so we hung out in the hotel bar. And I can't speak to, I mean, he didn't seem fucked up. But, you know, what do I know?
And he didn't get a DUI, did he?
No. No, he was not driving.
I'm just razzing you. I just, you know.
No, I didn't hear you. I was just saying so I could have, you know, come back with some sort of snappy retort.
Oh, no, I was just saying he didn't get a DUI.
No, he didn't because he was in the hotel.
Right. Oh, shoot.
But, no, I don't think we weren't pounding him back.
Uh-huh.
At least I didn't think so, but, you know. Obviously, I have no judgment when because, you know, I'm the idiot that gets popped. So.
Oh, it happens.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Dr. Quinn, we like to rag you about it, but it's just the luck of the draw, you know?
I know.
It is. It really is. You probably weren't even, like, really that inebriated, I'm sure. You just blew something you shouldn't have blown into that breathalyzer or whatever.
I didn't blow the things I should have blown to get out of it. Oh, but here's something funny.
Wow.
So after I was covering an assignment about a postal rally, and I ran into the president of the county FOP, who happens to be a longtime friend of mine. And he's you should have told him you know me. And it's like, okay, at the time, first of all, you weren't the first person I was thinking about, but, nah, that's not something I would do.
Right.
And he was just all like, hey, you know, it's the way of the world. And I'm like, yeah, be that as it may, I'm thinking to myself, that kind of makes me beholden to you.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, with whatever, and I don't cover county much. But it's just kind of, I mean, it was nice of him to offer, but it's still something I would never, I wouldn't do. Because, I could have.
Astro Glide.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't hear
See,
about
you know,
Astro
Glide is way overrated. All you need is a nice tube of petroleum jelly. But anyhow.
That's disgusting. That's sticky.
No, that's not disgusting. It's real life. And I am a master at.
No, well, yeah, Brian, you always want a water-based lubricant.
Yes.
Water-based, you know, fuck that shit. All I have to do is go in the shower and I'll get water-based.
So anyhow, guys, yeah, we're down to our last few minutes here, and all right. You know what? You know what's coming up? You know what's coming up here? Hey, Dr. Quinn. You know what's coming up here in, good Lord, about a week? Yeah, J-Hole. We got a big reading, a live reading with bands and a stand-up comedian and two bands, a stand-up comedian and a bunch of asshole poets and all that coming up in Jacksonville, Illinois on June 22nd. Jacksonville, Illinois. When you think Jacksonville, you think Jacksonville, Florida. But no, there's a Jacksonville in the middle of the goddamn country in Illinois, or Illinois, as you want to call it.
And it might be more backwards than Jacksonville, Florida.
She is
in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, the middle of nowhere. And you know what? Gosh darn. Mr. Gosinski, wish like hell you could be there. Just fly on down to Dayton and then just drive with me to Jacksonville this next week. It's going to be fun.
I would love to be there, but it's too close to Gary, Indiana for me.
Ooh, Gary, Indiana, yeah. That shit's creepy.
You bitches, I am so, when you guys are up here in October, you are going, I'm giving you the tour of Gary. Oh, yes,
I've been there. I stopped at a McDonald's.
You and I had this discussion, and I don't care. We're getting in the car, and I'm taking you through. And there will be no argument.
Does that tour include a visit to the county jail?
It could. It could, yeah. You know, that would be fine. You know, I used to want to do a certain poet up here, the tour of where that poet lived. We could do the death march of the route that it took from where I got pulled over to the county.
I'm so excited, Quinn. I'll be sure to bring my best lubricant and my purple hat.
Exactly.
Yeah, Dr. Quinn, you just treaded a whole new territory there with a poet you wanted to do in Gary, Indiana, or that vicinity. Please elaborate, because we all like to hear your fun stories. Come on, you started it. Come on.
No, that's not a poet that I wanted to do. It was just the memorial tour of where this particular poet, you know, wrote a lot of its subjects.
Okay, all right.
So.
Yeah.
I know.
Ooh, yeah, way to deflect that question there.
Okay, so that weekend or night, we didn't have a sub poetry reading on the corner that she got pulled over on.
Yeah, we can totally do that. It is a parking lot.
A parking lot.
So yes, and it's across the street from the Embassies of Christ, one of its schools.
Okay, and we'll need extra poetry grenades to hand out during that reading.
I never enter a small press battle if I'm not armed to the teeth with at least a dozen or more poetry grenades. That's just, you know, if you don't, it's a suicide mission. I'm just going to... Poetry grenades are essential to survival in the small freaking press. just putting it out there, all right?
And if you ever go to a baseball game in Oakland...
Where's Edwin?
One person at a time.
Max Hedren, what?
Max Hedren.
No, let Snell go first.
If you're ever going to go to a baseball game in Oakland, at least try to sneak one or two in.
Oh. I've been to football games in Oakland. Is it the same stadium today?
Yes.
Oakland Coliseum?
Yeah, it's the same stadium.
Shit, I've been there. I've been there for like a Monday night football game back when I lived out west. It was the Oakland Raiders against the Kansas City Chiefs, and oh yeah, okay,
ooh.
Wow, yeah.
And the Chiefs, ooh,
yeah.
Oh.
And the Chiefs won.
It was like the toilet paper bowl.
It was awful, but it was fun. All right, guys, I guess we're going to wrap this up. Yeah.
Before we leave, I have to plug, regardless of authority.
Oh, yes.
Submissions open, regardless of authority. Submit, regardless of authority, gmail.com. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, when is the next issue, issue number two of regardless of authority?
Well, we're doing it every 2 months, so it would be August.
August. Okay. So when you do something every 2 months, you call that bi-monthly?
Yeah, well, I don't like the term bi. I try to avoid
to insinuate
the term
anything.
Bi, okay, you know, do I incriminate myself? But
no, the debut issue of Regardless of Authority was great, man. It really was.
It's something I did.
It's no easy task to put together, you know, a lit rag like that, online, in print, or whatever. It takes a lot of work.
A lot of it is based on the submissions you receive. You know,
mm-hmm.
I can only publish what I'm given, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of kick-ass poets sent me some damn good shit. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, hopefully this time I get more damn good shit. You know, so far it's coming out really well. Yeah, I'm getting some really good stuff. So,
well, good. Glad to hear that. And, you know,
so hopefully people submit, you know.
Right.
The more the merrier.
Right. And you know what? This is subject in fucking poem. See, this is subject matter for a whole nother show. I mean, you know, the we should have a special show at some point, at least, you know, one segment talking all about you know, what it's like to be an editor or publisher, you know, behind the scenes. Yeah. I think a lot of people would get a kick out of it, and some people
that would be a good show to have Michelle McDonald on, to have her on, and she could talk about her experiences because she's been around for a long time.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. All right, guys. I'm sorry. I have to cut us all off here. We're counting down. I just got the. You have so many seconds left from Blog Talk Radio. So we're gonna shut off here. And you know what, guys? It's been fun. And thank you so much, Ryan, for being on. Nope.
Go.
Yeah, here we go.
Bye.
So
go
let's. All right, guys. Until next time. Thank you so much for being on and having fun. And you know what? Here we go. We're gonna fade out here with the magic. No, I lied.
Flush the toilet already.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Bye.